This morning on Spotlight, we're learning about a part of the world that we rarely see or hear about in the news, Northeast Thailand. Our guest is Ron Myers. Ron is with Baptist World Missionary Outreach and is currently on furlough, and he's been visiting Central New York. Well, good morning, Ron. It's a real delight to have you with us today.
Good morning, Rick. It's good to be here.
Well, Ron, I understand that you are actually originally from this part of the country.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I grew up in southern Cougar County. Most of my heritage is from this general vicinity.
Well, you're living quite far away now. Now, Thailand is in Southeast Asia.
That's correct. It's on the north side of the Malay Peninsula. In fact, the Malay Peninsula forms the southern part of Thailand.
Okay. And what part of Thailand do you live in?
Well, we have worked for many years in the northeastern region, which is on the border of Laos, in the Isan region, it's
called. And is this a rural area, or are there cities up there?
There are many cities, but generally most of the people are rural peasant farmers.
Tell me about the people then. Are all of them farmers, or are they up to other things for a living?
Well, most of the Isan people, the rural Isan people, have an agrarian background. Of course, in the cities, you will have the Chinese and the Vietnamese merchants, and a few of the northeastern Thai people are merchants, but not very many.
What language do they speak?
Well, there are many languages in the area. The main language is Isan, or northeastern Thai. It's a derivative of Lao, so it's very similar to Lao. But it's in the same language family group as Thai, Lao, and other tonal languages in the general vicinity.
Okay. Do many of the people then speak both?
A few do.
And this comes into play with what your work is in Thailand. Now, you've been working on a translation of the Bible. Tell us about that.
Yes, I started translating into the Isan language in the early 80s. The reason for this was we began church planting work in 1973, and as work progressed, we realized that the use of the Thai Bible with the northeastern Thai people and some of the subgroups was very difficult for them to understand because Thai is, number one, it's not their mother tongue or not their original language. Number two, the Thai Bible has been translated using a lot of high terminology, bookish language, and so on. And so it's difficult even many times for the Thai to understand. So this was a really big block in our being able to communicate the gospel effectively. And one thing led to another, and God led me into the translation project, and it's a privilege to be involved in such a great endeavor.
It's something that a North American typically would not experience, reading the Bible in a language other than your first language, but it really makes a big difference, doesn't it, in how it's received?
Yes, it's, of course, if we didn't have the Bible in English, we would be forced to read it in maybe Latin or Spanish or German or something like that, and people can just get an idea of what the difficulty would be in trying to understand what the Word of God really says.
What kind of issues do you go through when you're translating it? Are you translating it from Thai, or do you go back to the original languages?
No, I go back to the original Greek and Hebrew. I have a good working knowledge of those languages, mm-hmm. but I go through English, obviously. And the major challenge, shall we say, is not to understand what the Bible said, but to know how to translate that accurately into the receptor language, which in this case is the Isan language.
Do you find that there are concepts that are difficult for the people, the Isan people, to grasp because they're just so foreign to the culture there?
Yes, there are a few, but for the most part, that's the translator's job, is to know how to translate using terms that are appropriate for the Northeastern Thai and yet will accurately convey what the Word of God is saying.
What do the people there generally believe then, and how have they been responding to the gospel?
Well, that's a good question, Rick. Of course, the Northeastern Thai are Buddhists, and there's approximately 95 to 96% of the Thai population are Buddhist. Now, that's not pure Buddhism. It's Buddhism mixed with a mixture of Brahmanism, spirit worship, folk religions, superstitions, and so on, and they have it all mixed up in one happy little bundle, and it's more than a religion to them. It's more of a sociocultural point of identification. So, and they don't understand who Jesus Christ is. One of the biggest problems is many missionaries or people who start to try to witness to the Thai or the Northeastern Thai, will start with this. They'll say, do you know God loves you and Jesus died for your sins? Well, that's, to them, that's totally misunderstood because they do not know who God is, for one thing. And to them, Jesus is the foreigner's Buddha who came up with a set of golden rules for the foreigners to follow as Buddha did for them. And so we have to start in the beginning. We start with creation, just like Mars Hill is the name of your radio station. Here are one of the names. And so we use the same concept that Paul, the Apostle Paul, used in Acts chapter 17, speaking to those who had no concept of who God was. He began in the beginning, and this is what we have to do also. And it's a, it really works well. It's the only way to go, actually.
So that it's easier then to get that concept of God the Creator, just to start things off with.
Yes, it's imperative that they have this, because otherwise they have no way to plug in who Jesus is within their own worldview or concept. It's, and it's great to watch them as they come into an enlightenment of the fact that there's a God, a Creator God, and that creation is a work of God's hands. And once we establish this in their hearts and their minds and their thinking, it's very easy to convey the rest of the story.
Now, in North America, I guess even in, you know, Western thinking, perhaps in general, we just grew up with a concept of a beginning of some kind, whether you're a Christian or not. Then what do these people think as far as a beginning goes?
Well, they haven't really thought back that far, most of them. One thing we do use is there are certain legends within the culture that we can utilize when we're giving the gospel out. One is they have an understanding of an original father and mother, whom they call Pusangasa Nyasangasi, which I call Pomadum in their language, which means the original mother and father. And so we can use these, and there's another legend that they have about a Messiah who will be coming. And so we use this also.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are things that we can use within the culture to point him to God and the Creator.
Interesting. Don Richardson wrote about that in his book, Eternity in Their Hearts, how different cultures have that Messiah concept, or at least many of them do. And
yes, I'm a friend of Don Richardson's. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen him in a few years, but that's true. God has placed these within the culture. Our job is to find them and convey them accurately, using them as we present the gospel. We have to watch how we actually use them so we don't give too much credence to legends and folklore that are not the same as the Word of God, and yet we can use them as a springboard to convey God's Word.
That's fascinating. Well, Ron, how long are you in the States?
Well, it's interesting you ask this question. Presently, my wife and I, Cheryl, live in San Diego. We're members of Shadow Mountain Community Church, where David Jeremiah is senior pastor. We've been there for quite a while now. And we're trying to raise our support to return to Thailand as God opens the door. And it's just a privilege to serve God. I think one of the greatest things in all the world is to give one's life to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, having an integral part in taking God's Word, God's eternal life-giving Word, to those still sitting in spiritual darkness at the uttermost unreached ends of this world. And it's just a privilege to do that. In the meantime, before we get our support raised, I go back every year as God opens doors, as finances are provided, to print new scripture portions that we've translated, get them checked and so on, and then work from there. By the way, Wycliffe Bible Translators contacted me about a year ago now and asked permission to use the Isan translation as a source text for some of their translation teams working in the general vicinity, so that should give you a little idea of the quality of the translation.
How could a listener who wants to learn more about mission agency, the Baptist World Missionary Outreach Ministries, or your own ministry in particular, how could a listener find out more? Is there a telephone number or website that they could visit?
Well, I have a website. I think we could start there.
Sure.
It's called isanbible.net. That's spelled I as in Irene, S as in Sam, A as in Apple, N as in Nancy, with the word Bible, so it's isanbible.net.
Okay, very good. Ron Myers is a translator with Baptist World Missionary Outreach in Northeast Thailand. And Ron, it's been a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you very much. It's been great to be here.
For Spotlight, I'm Rich McVicker.
This has been Spotlight, a public affairs program of the Mars Hill Network. The opinions expressed by our guests on Spotlight are not necessarily those of the Mars Hill Network staff, management, or board of directors. For information on spotlighting your church or organization, contact the Public Affairs Director of the Mars Hill Network at 4044 Mackay's Road, Syracuse, New York, 13215. Spotlight is a presentation of the Mars Hill Network.